You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Published by the World Meteorological Organization, found that 2025 was the second or third hottest year on record. As temperatures increase due to climate change and emissions, the world's governments are seeing a similar increase in pressure to act. In New Zealand, often the narratives around climate change are that our impact through generating emissions or through reducing emissions would be minimal, given our small population. Despite that, the impact of climate change on our country and on our Pacific allies is significant. To discuss what New Zealand can do in the face of rising temperatures and what our role is in responding to climate change, I spoke to Professor of Climate Change and Physical Geography at Victoria University of Wellington, James Renwick. Last year, we've seen in the recent report, is the second or third hottest year on record. What's New Zealand's contribution, I guess, to increasing emissions? What are our biggest emitters? What are we making in the climate change space?
Well, our biggest emissions of carbon dioxide, which is the longest-lived greenhouse gas, come from transport and industry. So people driving cars and all of the industrial uses of fossil fuels. But one of New Zealand's major contributions to global warming is methane emissions from agriculture. So methane only stays in the air for 10 to 15 years, but while it's up there, it is much more powerful as a warming agent than carbon dioxide is. So roughly, it depends how you measure it, but roughly half of our emissions come from agriculture and the other half from transport and industry and various other smaller players.
And because we're a small country, I think it often, the narrative around New Zealand's climate management is often either that we don't need to care about the stuff that we're emitting, or that policies to reduce emissions and to alleviate climate impact would be redundant given our impact is quite small. Are these narratives true, or is there a bit of a grey area in between?
Those narratives are not true. You know, New Zealand's per head of population is one of the highest emitters in the world, and our economy has benefited hugely from burning fossil fuels. So, you know, it's not like this country gets a free pass because we don't have many people living in it. You could take any group of 5 million people around the world and they could say, well, we don't add much to the problem, we don't need to do anything. It's just a way of avoiding responsibility, essentially. We need to get to zero emissions globally, and that means globally, every country has to get to zero. So, yeah, there's like I said, there's no free pass for us just because we don't have a very large population. We're doing as much as any other country per head of population to push this problem along.
And so now if we're thinking about policy solutions, ways we can act on emissions to reduce that and reduce our carbon impact, and also on the flip side, I guess, alleviating the effects of climate change as they start to spread across the world. I mean, with the highest or second or third hottest year on record, you know, that's going to have an impact on people, on wildlife. What policies can we introduce?
Well, anything we can do to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels is a good idea. And, you know, we've seen in recent weeks for other reasons that reducing our dependence on fossil fuels is a good idea. So, you know, electrifying as much as possible, making the vehicle fleet fully electric. I see the government's announced today funding to double the number of EV chargers around the country. Excellent work. Subsidising electric vehicles, subsidising rooftop solar panels, putting in wind farms, you know, moving away from burning coal to generate electricity, moving away from burning oil and coal to power industry, and definitely moving away from using petrol and diesel to get both freight and people moving around the country. So those are the sort of obvious targets, I guess. And so if the government can facilitate the uptake of electric vehicles and using, and that not just for individuals in their homes, but also for freight movements and industry and so on, that would be a big step forward. Our transport emissions have been the fastest growing area of emissions over the last 30 or so years. So, generating as much electricity as possible from renewable sources and all the other ways we use fossil fuels around transport and industry and so on, moving away from those and moving those towards renewably powered energy sources is the way to go. And you know, this is pretty well known. It's been talked about in Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change reports for many years. Governments are very well aware of this. They just need to take the action to make it happen.
And the government's climate policy has come under fire recently in court, but the case has been brewing for quite a while for various issues, the main one being the emissions reductions through planting more trees as opposed to actually reducing emissions at the source level. What do you make of this? Is this, I mean, what do you make of the government's policy and the subsequent case against it?
Good question. You know, the government's saying that we're on track to meet our targets and we're doing all the right things, and yet when you look at the changes in policy that have happened with this government, they seem to be going backwards. You know, they've taken away subsidies for electric vehicles, and yes, they've just put a bit of money into electric chargers, but their goal of 10,000 around the country is still a long way off. They're putting money into building roads, and they don't want to have cycle lanes. A whole lot of things are suggesting this government is not actually that interested in reducing carbon dioxide emissions or agricultural emissions. You know, they've backed away from charging for methane emissions on farms. So it's hard to reconcile all that with their claims that, you know, everything's hunky-dory. Yes, planting trees, that is a sort of a short-term not a solution. It's a way of buying a little bit of time. You know, those trees will absorb a bit of carbon dioxide while we come up with ways to reduce the actual gross emissions. And that's the bit that seems to be missing in this country right now. You know, the right trees in the right place can be good things for all sorts of reasons, like biodiversity and slope stability, etc. But just firing in pine trees all over the place does not really help anyone. And yeah, I'm a bit concerned about that kind of thinking, that we can just plant trees and we don't have to worry about doing anything else. It is absolutely the wrong way of thinking about the problem.
And some of that thinking comes from this idea, I guess, that we can continue to emit a large amount of fossil fuels as long as we make up for it with an equal or roughly equal number of trees, with this sort of net zero mindset, right, that New Zealand wouldn't produce any extra emissions. Is the world, now that we've seen, you know, that this report and we've seen increasing impacts of climate change, is the world in a state where every country could go net zero and things would be fine? Or do we have to go net negative almost and start reducing emissions more actively?
Yeah, another great question. We do actually have to go net negative. Depends where you want to stop with global warming. You know, 1.5 degrees is the bottom of the Paris Agreement range. 2 degrees of warming is the top of the range. Well, it's too late to stop at 1.5 degrees. We've only had 1 year above that threshold so far, but it's inevitable that we'll have every year above that by 2030. So, you know, we couldn't reduce emissions fast enough to stop that. Even stopping at 2 degrees, we'd need to see pretty serious action on reducing emissions globally. And I note from this latest report that actually in 2024, global emissions of carbon dioxide were the highest ever recorded. So we're pushing this up into the air faster and faster all the time. Despite all the talk about the Paris Agreement and everything, you know, no one's actually taking the action we need to take. So getting to net zero, okay, that would stop warming at whatever level it's at when we get there. But if we want to get back to something like the climate we used to have, yeah, we need net negative emissions. That is, we need to be pulling greenhouse gases out of the air actively. And I honestly don't know if that can be done. Sure, you can plant lots more trees, but that doesn't actually do it. There's not enough land to plant all the trees you'd need. And there's no other technology that anyone's aware of that would do the job either. So hoping for negative emissions is dangerous, I think. There's nothing on the horizon that would really do it at the scale we need. So what we need to do is reduce emissions of greenhouse gases as absolutely fast as possible, starting right now. And like I just said, that the indicators show that we're going in the opposite direction. We're emitting more and more, faster and faster every year. So we have to wean ourselves off these fossil fuels for powering the global economy as soon as we possibly can.
That was Professor of Climate Science and Physical Geography at Victoria University of Wellington, James Renwick, speaking to me about policy responses to high temperatures driven by climate change.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.